Oh no. Satan asked, "Will you just cast yourself down from the temple? He will give his angels charge over you," right? Would we know God showed up if everything went without a hitch? Would that be the clear sign that God was here? When everything goes without a problem, then we know, yep, it must be God. Or maybe, just maybe, we would know it was God if we got out on time. Or even early. That would be miraculous, wouldn't it? What do you expect from God? Do you really think he'll be here today? What would he look like if he showed up? Would you see it in each other? Or would you look for it someplace else? Where in the world are you going to find God? And what in the world does that have to do with discipleship? Well, maybe just this. Discipleship is most apt to happen when you are caught by surprise. You see, when surprises happen, it takes away our well-positioned mask, and we see the real person. And sometimes we can rejoice because there is evidence that God has worked, and we see his work, and we say, hallelujah! But because there is discipleship, there are also things that God has not done yet. And so we fall on our knees and we repent and say, God, please continue to transform me. This is discipleship. There is nothing like surprise to expose the acceptable sins of pride and arrogance. When the surprise happens, you are exposed. Do we find any surprises in Scripture? Let me see. Abraham? Sarah looks to me like she's pretty fertile. How about to you? Surprise! Still don't believe? Well, then we'll call him laughter. Surprise! Now go and sacrifice him. Surprise. How could we get Moses' attention when he spent 40 years herding sheep? I guess you'd need a surprise, wouldn't you? And it's not limited to the Old Testament. You can go to the New Testament. A guy named Saul. How could you get Saul's attention when he is so hard-headed? You might have to knock him off his high horse. Or what about Peter and John going to pray at the temple? And what do they find? A beggar. I don't have money for you. I've got something else. Surprise! But if you want to look in Scripture for the plethora of surprises, you go to Jesus. No place else will you see more surprises or somebody more intent on discipling everyone he came in contact with. Where shall we start? How about his birth? Any surprises there? Where would the king of the universe show up? A barn? To lowly people? As seminarians, we almost take pride in the fact that he was born of a virgin. Miraculous! It's kind of tough growing up when people say, "Who's your daddy?" Not so convenient then, is it? If you had the best choir in the whole universe, ready to sing praises to God, who should they gather in to hear their chorus? Certainly the temple host, right? Surprise! Shepherds out in the field are the only ones who have heard the angel choir. Are you surprised? Well, then what would get the religious leaders, people like you and I, the pastors, the intelligentsia? Oh, let's bring wise men for wise men. And you read about it in Matthew 2, Where did the star guide them? Please don't tell me Bethlehem. That's children's story, right? Matthew 2, where does the star guide them? Yes, Jerusalem. You go to Desire of Ages, and Ellen White says, it stopped right above the temple. And it disappeared right there. And they knew, this is the place. So they went into the temple and said, where is the King of the Jews? We have seen the star and we have come here to worship him. Placed right before the religious leaders, people asking, where is your king? And they were surprised and offended. The mask came off. First of all, they're not of our ethnicity. They've got nothing to share with us. Second of all, they are not part of our faith community. Could you imagine bringing somebody into this seminary to speak to us who is not a Seventh-day Adventist? What do they have to share with us, possibly? And so they said, you have come to the wrong place. Let me paraphrase. If you're looking for God, don't come here. Herod, the pagan king, heard about it, and he was interested. So he came to the religious leaders and had them tell him, where could I find the king? And it is the pagan king who directs the wise men when the pastors refuse to do so. Are you needed? You're invited, but you're not needed. Straight out of college, I don't think I've ever been smarter at any time in my life. And I descended on the church, ready to do everything for Jesus. Do you know what I'm talking about? My motives were pure. Let me go! I've been in school too long. And somehow, some way, revival broke out. It wasn't just a feel-good revival. This was actually changing people's lives, transforming them. And the ripple effect kept moving out, and other people started getting affected by it too. Parents of youth started being affected by it too. And we all said, this is a miracle! Surprise! I thought to myself, I need to remember what steps I took to bring about revival. Because I would like to repeat this. Wouldn't you? And so I traced it to see where my work had opened the door and paved the way for God to be able to do his thing. And it was a masterpiece. It really was. The whole step, every single step in the whole pathway had absolutely nothing to do with what I had done. It had to be purposefully done that way. I was simply an observer of God's activity. What an invitation! Forget the 50-yard line seats. We get to be on the field watching the action. But you're not the one who scores. God does. Sometimes surprise is not all that nice. If you read the account in John, Jesus started off his ministry down in Jerusalem by cleansing the temple. Surprise! I was here a while ago when I was 12. Remember me? I'm back. And in case you're wondering, I'll be back again. Again, Desire of Ages said, after he cleansed the temple, the religious leaders said, we're taking a vow. He is never chasing us out again. Staying with Desire of Ages at the end of his ministry, they ran faster the second time. Sometimes surprises are not welcomed. Sometimes we resist them. When Jesus introduced his ministry up north, he had done a few miracles in Capernaum, and then just over the mountain is Nazareth, hometown. And he got to go home. Oh, isn't it wonderful when the homeboy returns? We're going to give him the pulpit. In Jewish parlance, you do the scripture reading and comment on it. Have you ever been back to your home church? Have you been welcomed? Have you been given the pulpit? And Jesus was. They had heard about him. But now he's home. And let's see what he's got. So he took the scroll of Isaiah the prophet, opened it up to chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? I'm here to announce good news to those who are poor, to set free those who are captive. You've heard of the year of Jubilee? It's starting now. He left out, and God's going to wipe out your enemies. Oh, I wish he would have said that. What's he going to say? And here it came. Today, this promise is being fulfilled. And Luke 4 says, all the people spoke well of him. That's our boy! Yeah! He's from Nazareth! Represent! And he says, I suppose you want to have a few tricks, right? You've heard about them in Capernaum? No tricks. It's kind of like Elijah went to the widow of Zarephath, a Gentile. It's kind of like Elisha healed Naaman, the Syrian, not one of you. And realizing that people outside of their religious community were going to be ministered to by God, they became so angry that they took him out to murder him. And Jesus disappeared. Surprise. Surprise. Where was he? So what's it like when you come back to seminary after you've been home to preach? How did it go for you in your hometown? Oh, it was the usual. They liked it? Well, they tried to kill me again. It seems like everywhere I go, that happens. You know, Jesus, meek and mild, one of the nicest men who ever lived. I like to refer to you to John chapter 8, where he played Who's Your Daddy? With the religious leaders. John chapter 8, about halfway through, they have their dialogue, and Jesus is saying, you need two witnesses in Jewish law, right? You want to witness that I am God? Well, first of all, I'll witness to that. And secondly, God witnesses to that. I've got my two without even consulting you. Thank you very much. And their response, I think, is around verse 43 or so. Who's your daddy? Aren't you an illegitimate son? Or let's take the vernacular. You're a bastard. Let's be straight about it. And you're claiming to be God? And Jesus says, I'm so sorry. My bad. You know, I should just back off and not even confront you guys. No. He gets right in their face and says, you're asking about my daddy? Let me tell you about your daddy. Surprise! Are you ready for some discipleship? Your daddy is the devil! I'll give you another name. Father of lies. He's been lying since the beginning. And you guys are a bunch of liars too! That's why he's your daddy. It's natural for you. He sure was a nice guy, wasn't he? Wouldn't hurt a flea, that Jesus. And they said, Abraham is our father. Oh, Abraham's not your father. In fact, you're a slave to sin. And they lost out on their history. They said, we've never been slaves to anybody. See, Egypt, Babylon, never been a slave. Nope, never have been. Abraham is our daddy. No, he's not. Because if Abraham were your daddy, you would believe me. Because Abraham looked forward to seeing me. Abraham! How could Abraham look forward to seeing you? And then he says it. What? Before Abraham was,
Surprise! And they bow down and worship. Again, actually, Jesus lived a very, very long time. For as many times as they were trying to kill him. People have told me I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I don't remember much from my birth. They didn't have video cameras then to see it. But I don't think there was a silver spoon in my mouth. My mom would have told me, I'm sure. But I found out what people meant. What they meant is, you get a lucky break all the time. You get more opportunities than normal people. You're a lucky sucker. And you know what? I think they're right. I am. I've been blessed way beyond what I deserve. What am I supposed to say? God, please stop? I'm unworthy, I admit it. Thank you. Came back here as a seminary student, kicking and screaming. I'm one of those Californians. Pray for us. It's a mission field. And I was able to petition and delay my coming to the seminary. And I petitioned again, and it was not accepted. I got sent back here, and I started my calendar, and I just started checking off the days. That was my attitude. By the way, seminary is one of the best experiences that happened to me. And God had a little surprise in mind. Because when I finished my studies, I ended up teaching here. Surprise! May as well throw away the calendar and call this place home. John Pauline was a professor, new professor at that time, and he came to me and said, I can't believe it. I thought I was the youngest professor here at the seminary. Surprise. Before 30. Wow. That's an accomplishment. No, that's desperation on the part of the seminary, trying to find a youth ministry professor. Beautiful wife, have it all together. We may as well be called the Kennedys. Chose to leave, become a youth pastor again back out in California in the pleasant land. Gave birth to a lovely little girl. And then I had the surprise of my life. One day my wife said, I think the grass is greener on the other side. And that's where I'm going. Like the stereotypical male, huh? I had no idea. Totally out of touch. And my life fell into a shambles. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Or to use another analogy, have you been to the hardware store where they have that little machine that shakes up the paint can? That's what I felt like, except the lid was off. And I was just spilling all over the place, and I couldn't even see straight. Silver spoon? I'm a mess. Completely broken. Surprised. And my prayer was, God, please just make me a whole person again. My friend said the lights went out. He is no more. There is a shell, but at least he's starting to walk now. He got out of bed today. Surprise. It can happen. And it's not always nice. Is that an opportunity for discipleship? It depends on if you turn towards God or if you turn away from God when you are surprised. That's the pivot point, because you will be surprised. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again, but God can. When I read Paul, when he says, you are complete in him, I know that experientially. And I thank him to this day. Surprise. Some surprises are actually kind of nice, kind of fun. Coming back to Jesus again, If Jesus were to come to the seminary and pick out 12 disciples, which 12 of you would he pick? Dean Forden, should he come to your office and ask you for the top 12? We'd have to get a faculty meeting together, look at GPAs, see who kissed up the most in class, who talked but not too much. Who would he pick? Well, this should send shudders through all of us. He would have walked out of the seminary with nobody. Fishermen? Tax collectors? No seminary training. Idiots at best. And so what did he do to train them? He sent them out. Not even an intensive. And they were stupid enough to do it. Sure, we'll do it. Oh, what are we supposed to say? Tell them the kingdom of God is happening now. Now? Yeah, okay. We just say that. No, don't just say that. Heal some people. Find some lepers and cleanse them. There are a lot of demons around. Cast them out. And if you find a dead person, just resurrect them. I'm on it, Jesus! Who was more surprised? The people who benefited or the disciples who did it? And let me ask you, Pastor, are you ready to be surprised by what God can do through you? You know, frankly, it doesn't matter that you are seminary trained. God can still use you. I'm serious. There's plenty of evidence that people who've been through the seminary are used by God. It does not have to be a handicap. It will only be a handicap if you think you can do this because of what you have instead of what he gives you. And so he comes to the end of his life. Let me see, was the crucifixion a surprise for anybody? The disciples were certainly given plenty of warning, but they seemed surprised. But I'm going to submit to you the person or individual who I think was the most surprised at the crucifixion. Lucifer. He really didn't believe that God would actually do it. For a righteous person, you might lay down your life. But while we, plural, were sinners, Christ died for us. Anybody surprised by the resurrection? I think the only ones who were not surprised were the religious leaders. They're the ones who said, put the seal over it. Put the soldiers out there. The disciples are idiots. We're not. We know what's going to happen. We just got cleansed again, you know? But everybody else seemed to be surprised. Are you surprised? Easily? And when you are, do you turn towards God? Or do you turn away from God? Or do you turn towards God if it's a nice surprise? and turn away from him if it's a bad surprise. And I want to suggest to you that whether it's good or bad, you turn to God. And when you do, he disciplines you because you are his disciple. That is what discipleship is. Surprise! It's not a seminar. It's full of surprises. As a teenager, I had the benefit of growing up in a Seventh-day Adventist family, devout. My parents, converts in their late teens. So I grew up in the faith. I've been given a rich heritage, and I thank God for that. But at some point, it has to become your own, right? God has no grandchildren. So I had to become a child of God. I can't remember if I was 15 or 16 years of age, but I know the place. I was walking down the hallway at my Seventh-day Adventist Academy, and, oh, that's it! That's it! I get it now! There's a book, it's called The Desire of Ages. Raise your hands if you've heard of it. That's a majority here. Okay, good. I was familiar with Desire of Ages, too. We had read it in Bible class. My parents had read it to us at home, and Desire of Ages. Yeah, I know what it is. But what clicked was this. Do you know what Desire of Ages is about? Yeah, it is. It's about Jesus. And so that's why they call it the Desire of Ages, because Jesus is the Desire of Ages. So that's why they call it that. I didn't know that. I was ecstatic. So I said, well, if that's that, I wonder what Patriarchs and Prophets is about. So I went and checked it out. You know what it's about? Yes, it is! It is! Well, then what's the great controversy about? It's about the great controversy! So they call it the great controversy. Steps to Christ. The steps to Christ. And that little paperback became a beacon light for me from that point on. Dwight Nelson, right over here at PMC, says that it was during his seminary experience when he read Steps to Christ that he became converted. Wow. I love that book. It takes me right to Jesus. And so I share it with young people today. Not only do they not read, they don't read Steps to Christ. And I think this is a classic. Let me paraphrase it for you. You need to know how to have a relationship with Jesus yourself. So they say, put it into our words so we can understand it. So I did. I did. Pacific Press said, okay, that's good. We'll go ahead and publish it. So here it is. How many of you have seen it? It's called Connection, How to Have a Relationship with God. It just came out last week. Oh. The Andrews Bookstore has it, so does the ABC. Please go get it, $13.99, cough it up. last month, I was in Washington, D.C. at a young adult event. Knowing this was coming out this month, I decided to test the waters. I was with one of the leaders of this young adult event and a young adult, and I just said, hey, have you read the book Steps to Christ? The young adult leader said, no. Have you ever tried? I did about one page and I couldn't take it after that. How about the young adult? The young adult had never heard of the book, Steps to Christ. This is a Seventh-day Adventist. Surprise? So please, don't just get Connection, get one for a young adult too. In fact, who wants this one? Surprise! You're very welcome. And you know what? We got a surprise for some other people too, because at the doors, we have a free copy for you. Maybe we'll run out, maybe we won't. Surprise. Almighty God, the inventor of surprises, the one who uses them to shape us into his image, we say thank you and we praise you. Keep surprising us. Amen.